Is that better?
Yes.
Right, okay, I'll start again. When you were little, what did you want to be when you grew up? Pardon?
I always wanted to be a
nurse. A nurse? Yes, I've had inklings to want to be a spy. Well, yes. Right, yeah. Any others?
I wanted to be an architect.
Right, a vet. Mm-hmm. I wish I'd have thought of that. I know for many, it's, you know, the circumstances were such that they didn't dare to have any specific dreams, or didn't allow those dreams to ferment necessarily. Could have been because there was a war on, or all sorts of other circumstances. But living in peaceful Britain, I wanted to be either a footballer and to lift up the FA Cup, or to win an Olympic gold medal. So I don't know what that tells you about me. Either I'm really competitive, or I've got delusions of grandeur, or both. But as I got older, I wanted to do something worthwhile. What could I give my time to, all my working hours, that would be worthwhile? And oh dear. And I'm still looking. Oh, thank you. But as you get older, and when you look around the world, it makes you think, well, what a privilege, really, that I've been able to even dream of such possibilities. Now, Easter is a time of year when we're sort of given a nugget of opportunity or of time to meditate a little more than we might usually do. Well, that's talking about myself anyway. I really love Holy Week, and I love Good Friday and Easter Day itself. I like the extra little bit of time to reflect. And in the run-up to Easter this year, I read Psalm 71, and Neil's going to read a snippet of it now, not all of it. You might want to read into that.
Psalm 71, 17 to 23. O God, you have taught me from my earliest childhood, and I constantly tell others about the wonderful things you do. Now that I am old and grey, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me. Your righteous God reaches to the highest heavens. You have done such wonderful things. Who can compare with you, O God? You have allowed me to suffer great much hardship, but you will restore me to life again and lift me up from the depths of the earth. You will restore me to even greater honour and comfort me once again. Then I will praise you with the harp, with music on the harp, because you are faithful to your promises, O God. I will sing praises to you on the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. I will shout for joy and sing your praises, for you have ransomed me.
Thanks, Neil. It struck me, after all my strivings, that the best thing in the world to be is to be ransomed. Here's a definition. Ransomed means to obtain the release of a captive by paying a ransom. To obtain the release of a captive by paying a ransom. My mind went back to March 2022 when we watched the news and saw the release of Nazanin Zaghari Radcliffe. She'd been imprisoned in Iran for 6 years. I remember watching the joy, the overwhelming joy of being released for her and her family. The word ransomed comes up in the Bible because it's the word that aptly describes what Jesus did for us. First Timothy 2:5-6 tells us there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Jesus gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. And of course, that's what we celebrate, not just at Easter, but every single day of our lives. When we celebrate that Jesus paid a ransom for us so we can be free. Anyone who's ever physically been kidnapped and held captive and then set free, I'm sure is never the same again. Well, you wouldn't be, would you? But what if, like me, you've been really blessed in life? If we've been really blessed in life, then the captivity, which you know you've been set free from, is sort of less physical and more spiritual. Then perhaps we have to work a bit harder to grasp the enormity of what it means to be ransomed. You have to really think about it and ponder it and reflect on it in order to grasp it, to understand and to sense that joy, that same joy that Nazanin Zaghari Radcliffe experienced when she arrived back at RAF Brize Norton that night. And that's why I think there's so much in the Bible about reflecting, remembering, and praying. But then when you've grasped it, what do you do then? The wonderful thing is, when you search through the Bible, you find out the answer is not about doing at all. It's about being. The primary thing is about being. God ransomed you so you could be his child. John 1:12 says, but to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. And so you could be his heir. Galatians 4:7 tells us, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. And so you could be his friend. John 15:15 says, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. So you could be his masterpiece or his poem. You can translate the word either way. For we are God's masterpiece or his poem. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. That's Ephesians 2:10. In other words, we were ransomed by God for a relationship with Him. Ransomed to be fully yourself. The glorious, unique person He's created you to be. Marvellously created, miraculously, in your mother's womb, He created you to be in relationship with Him. And that's why He set you free. That's why He paid a ransom for you. And within that relationship, of course, there is communication and there is guidance. Now, I think there are probably two types of guidance that we find in life. One is the mechanical variety. Now, that's the sort of guidance when you drive a car or a drone and you consciously guide something the way you want it to go. But there's also personal guidance. Here too, we want things to go a certain way, but now we're dealing with people. People have a mind to think for themselves and a will to do or not to do something. Every individual's uniqueness counts. It's important. God doesn't want to override it. Your life remains your life because you are guided only through your own deliberations and decisions. So for this reason, for this purpose, God must somehow communicate with you in order to guide you. This is the only means by which God can have an impact on you and yet still leave you with the mental and spiritual space so you can retain your free personality. So the result is that you live as God's friend, yet also govern your own life. I think probably God uses the mechanical kind of guidance to control non-human or non-personal bits of creation, like nature, the seasons, the sunrise, the sunset, that sort of thing. But God's personal creatures, like us, He guides by communicating His intentions and thoughts. That's why a relationship is important. That's why spending time with God in prayer is so important. Not just to give God our wish list, but to spend time with God, to listen to Him, to allow Him to guide our lives. And when we do, well, what a fantastic assortment of life stories we have, and we have in this room. Now, at the Ashley AGM a few weeks ago, one of the suggestions that came up was that it might be nice to hear some of these stories. And we thought it might be nice to share with each other, as part of the Sunday morning service, what we're up to in our lives. So I thought it would be rather lovely to get the ball rolling today with Denise. Now, I think everybody here probably knows that Denise is doing a course with KLM in Enfield, and I believe it was part of that course to record your testimony, is that right? But, I mean, don't worry, we're not going to ask everybody to record their testimonies, but as we have it, and Denise is willing, we'd like to play it for you.
Good morning. supposed to be giving my testimony. This was years and years and years ago. I have to give a bit of a backstory. I've not been raised a Christian. I came to faith through this experience. In 1988, I started a new job on the Monday, the 20th of March. I started a new job where I was going to be a legal executive and blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, on the Friday of that week, I had a huge accident driving a car. There were four girls in my car. I collided with an oncoming vehicle, which was a Land Rover. So there was not a lot left of my car. I was the driver, obviously. After my first week at work, anyhow, we were rushed to the QE2, in Wellington City, stabilised and taken to the Royal Free. My best friend died as a result when we got to the Royal Free. I survived, was in coma for a period of 7 weeks. During that coma, I experienced the Lord. Had loads of experiences, however, the main one is that I do not know when specifically in the coma, but I went to a place and on trying to cross over this it felt like a river, trying to cross over this and get into this other realm, I met either it was Jesus or one of the saints, and I heard the words, "Not yet, and everything will be okay." After that, I experienced tunnel with a bright light at the end. Loads of experiences later. The nearer I got to this bright light, the more it hurt, physically hurt. And I got to the light. Got to the light and I woke up. This was all after hearing everything will be okay. And all the years, all the struggles, all the pain, physical pain and emotional pain, etc., etc., everything will be all right. Everything will be alright. So whatever trauma I go through, life, everything will be alright. So I've always got that within me. Everything will be alright. And it's so I simply did not talk about this to anybody because I thought they're going to think I'm mad. Until I went to an Alpha class, there was a woman where I worked, which I gradually got back to the same people. Gradually got back to so many days, so many mornings a week, and anyway. She led me to an Alpha course, and soon the very, very first video where it was Nikki Gumbel talking about the Alpha course, I was sat there buzzing all over, hot and cold, and well, I felt like I was sitting on nothing, and it was wonderful. I thought, well, this is it. This is it. It was a packed room, and I felt he was talking just to me. Just to me. And I thought, oh, I've got to come to this course. And again, it's the automatic doors, everything. So I crammed since that time. I crammed everything I could learn about Christianity. I read the Bible in, 6 months from cover to cover. And I've only done that once. But it's amazing. I've been on loads of different courses. And if it's right, it opens. Doors automatically open. And if it's not, they don't. And everything will be okay. And this course, KM course, I only heard of, was everything happens really quickly. I heard about this and 2 weeks later I was accepted. And wow. And the friends I've made, it's astounding. And this course, you're talking, Ruth, about this treatment centre. And wow. My dream, my ultimate dream is to somehow be connected with a treatment centre. And my ultimate dream was to be connected with a treatment centre resource retreat where people with physical problems or addiction problems could go and they could be, just leave me alone. Leave me alone, please. In all my recovery from the actual accident, it's been everything is getting you to do something. Just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. And everything was about getting so you'll be normal. I'm not normal. Okay, so I like being different. And what's wrong with being who I am, who God's made me to be? Through my experiences, I'm the right person he wants me to be right now. So I encourage everybody to find their warmth inside themselves, their springboard to be fully themselves, which I imagine or would hope is God's provision to make other people's lives better. So being that person to open the doors, automatic doors, so others can make it. So, I'm not explaining that very well. What I can do to enable other people to grow, so they can grow and make heaven on earth, make it here, now, it's here. Just encourage that to be more. And this resource centre, this treatment centre, is perhaps a step towards that. Alongside that is, as I was saying earlier, I was given, in my talks with God, I was given the word teach. And I thought, oh my word, I can't teach anything. And then I was given the word lifestyle. I don't particularly think I'm living an extraordinarily wonderful life. Well, it is in some way, yes. But as I said, lifestyle is doing what I feel, doing what you can to enable others. There you go. That's my testimony.
Yes, well done, Denise. Thank you for that. And didn't know whether anybody had any questions that Denise is willing to answer any questions that might come out of that. Sorry, Diane, what was your question?